Places in Genesis chapter 5 and then also in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Genesis chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter 11. I read these scriptures yesterday in the service there at the funeral, and I have tried, and you may or may not understand when I say this, but I've tried to study other things and get something else, but it won't come. And this won't leave me. And it's not just what I preached yesterday, and I'll probably say a whole lot of the same things, but the Lord has taken it one step further for the service this morning, and so I thank Him for that. And showed me some more, and it's not that I knew everything about these verses to begin with, but just in taking the same thought and going one step beyond, and that's what He's done this morning. And so I want to try by His help to deliver what's on my heart still this morning. If you'll pray for us that God would help us. When you found your place, if you're physically able and willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God, Genesis chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter 11. I begin reading in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Then in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. There is a reality in the scriptures that if you study, and if I've studied them correctly, come to find out that in Genesis chapter 5 that we read into your hearing this morning, there about verses number 22 and verse 24, and then also in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 9, the Bible speaks about Enoch and Noah. And they are the only two in the entire record of the scripture that the Bible is specific to say that they walked with God. Now we know that there are others that did. It is without question that there are others in the scripture by the light of their life and the things and events and records that we have of them in the Word of God and the miracles that were performed and the mighty acts that they did. We could go to Hebrews chapter 11 and we could read about all of those. There are many more there besides Noah and Enoch. So we understand that there were others that walked with God also. We could know and think, and I mentioned yesterday about the disciples, that we know that they literally, physically walked with God in their time on the earth while the Lord Jesus Christ was with them. We know about the Apostle Paul, that he told the church many times for them to follow him as he followed Christ. So we know that there are others that walk with God. The Bible mentions there in Hebrews chapter 11 about Moses. Moses as well as others, that by faith Moses was hid of his parents because they saw he was a goodly child. By faith that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith he delivered Egypt. By faith he did these things. We read about Abraham, that the Bible said by faith he was called of God to go out, and he went, not knowing whither he went. So we know that Abraham walked with God, but the Bible does not specifically say about anybody else but these two men that they walked with God. And so there is this word in Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm not so interested this morning in Noah, though it is written about him, but I'm interested in Enoch, because the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, it mentions this word, that he had a testimony that he pleased God. Now, I preached yesterday in the funeral service about what will I leave behind. But the reality, the Lord this morning, while I was sitting there on the pew in the Sunday school hour, brought this scripture to my heart again in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. And if you look at the verse, the Bible said, now I understand that Enoch did not die. The Bible said he was, and then he was not, for God took him. But the reality is that Enoch lived this life. And he left a testimony. He left a witness. The word testimony literally in the Greek means evidence. Enoch had evidence in his life that he pleased God. These are not words that Enoch wrote about himself. Enoch did not say about himself that he walked with God, but it was words that others that saw him and observed him and knew the evidence that was left behind could easily say that he walked with God and that he pleased God. But I want to say this morning, and I preached yesterday, and it was the will of God for the service, to preach about what will I leave behind. But this morning I just want to preach about our testimony, because I want you to know and understand that you don't have to die to have a testimony. For the Bible said in Hebrews 11:5 that before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. So before Enoch ever left, there was evidence in his life that those around him could see that he walked with and pleased God. Do you understand that the Bible said in Hebrews 11 that it, without faith it is impossible to please God? And so we know that it must take faith on our part in order to please God. It takes faith to walk with God. For the Bible said that the just shall live and walk by faith. We walk not by sight, but by faith. And so we must have faith. Faith is that earnest expectation. Faith is hope put in action. Faith is an expected end. Faith is a confidence in God. The Bible said the pure biblical definition of faith is it is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It is those things that we do not see, those things that we do not understand, those things that are beyond our physical eye, but yet we lay hold on them by faith. Faith brings the intangible to tangibility. Faith allows our spiritual hands to lay hold on what our physical hands cannot lay hold on. It's how we believe. We believe by faith. I've never seen God. The Bible said no man has seen God at any time. But yet I believe he is by faith. I don't know how the transaction really took place on that blessed Tuesday night when he saved my soul. But I know it did by faith. I've never seen heaven. I don't really know what all's going to be there. John wrote some about it, about the things that he saw. But I know it's my home, and I feel more at home there. I feel a pull to go there and not one to stay here. And all of that is by faith. And so in these days in which we live, I wonder what kind of testimony that we have among the world. I wonder what kind of testimony that we have among those that we live day by day around. I wonder what kind, you want to put it this way and want to use the definition. I wonder what kind of evidence that they can see in us that we please God. Is there any evidence in our life that we walk with God? Now, what I mean by evidence is not that we have to go to some novelty store and buy a bumper sticker that says, I'm a Christian, and put it on the back of our car. And we don't have to go around with a shirt that says, I'm born again. And all those things are fine and well if you want to. But there should be evidence, there should be fruit produced in the life of a child of God. My Bible tells me that when I got born again, that the Holy Spirit moved on the inside of me. And then that Spirit in Galatians 5, a capital S, bears fruit inside the heart and life of the believer. And those fruits are love and joy and meekness and gentleness and temperance and patience and long-suffering and things not to be ashamed of. Is there any evidence? Is there any fruit in your life? Do you have a testimony that you walk with and please God? It's not something you can say about yourself. This is not something we go around broadcasting. Hey, I walk with God. Hey, I please God. It's not the words you say, but it is the evidence in the life you live. We have too long in our church age today, and I'm just trying to follow the Lord this morning, but we have too long in our church age today put way too much emphasis on what we say and way too little on how we live. It's easy to say I'm a Christian. It's easy to say I'm saved. It's easy to say I belong to the church. But when it really boils down to it, do you live what you say? Do you practice what you preach? Is there evidence in you? Do you have a testimony? If you're saved, you should have one. I want to say if you're saved, you will have one. But it may not be the one you want it to be. But if we have the one we want, if we have the one we ought to have, then it would be the one that we please God. Because that's our duty. Paul charged the church to do all things that please God. And that's what we're here today to do. We've not come this morning, at least I hope you've not. I hope you don't come just to please me. And I understand about the setup there, and I understand about pastoral authority. I understand about doing I understand all that. But if that's the only reason we've come this morning, it's for you to please me and me to please you, we've missed the mark. If we've only come this morning to please the church, we've missed the mark. If we've only come this morning to please our spouse, please our children, please our parents, we've missed the mark. But the reason we ought to come, and the reason we live the life we live, ought to be that we please God. And He ought to be pleased in our life. And if He's going to be pleased in our life, if we're going to have this evidence, if we're going to have this testimony, this same one that Enoch had, you and I can have. We can have the same testimony in 2021 that Enoch had before the flood ever came on this world, that we please God. It's possible in these days. You say, well, preacher, how can we have this testimony? Well, if we're going to have a testimony that we please God, then we're going to have to do the things that please God. And in order to do the things that please God, then that means, according to the Word of God, that we're going to have to deny some things. First of them is the world. We're going to have to deny the world. John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He said, all that's in the world, the names those things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of God, but they're of the world. The world is enmity against God. The carnal mind, to be carnally minded, is death. And so we must not just deny the world, but we must deny the flesh. This outward man that was just taught in the Sunday school hour this morning, there's a war going on in our members. Paul said, I find it a war. That means it's a constant. And when I would do good, evil's always present with me. You can interpret that, I guess, however you want to. I understand the Bible's not of any private interpretation, but you understand what I'm saying. You can take it as the devil that he's present, but really, if you take the scriptures about him, he doesn't have the attributes of God. He's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at the same time. I understand he's the prince and the power of the air. I understand he has demons that do his work. I understand there's more than just him, but really, I believe in my own heart that what Paul meant by that is the wicked body of flesh that he lived in. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Paul hated his flesh. He said, "It's because of my flesh that sometimes those things I would, I do not. And those things I would not, that I do." And then there's the war of the inside of the inner man with the flesh, wanting to follow the Spirit of God. And so if we're going to have a testimony that we please God, our flesh must be dealt with. It must be crucified. It must die out. Paul said, "I die daily. And while I'm there, can I say that a walk with God is not a Sunday morning only walk. A walk with God is not a Sunday and Wednesday only walk. If that's the only walk you have, you've got a good dose of religion and you probably need to be born again. But I'm telling you, this walk that I'm speaking about will want you to walk on Monday the same way you walk on Sunday. That's the walk God desires for you to have. But in order to do that, we have to deal with the flesh. The flesh is hard. And we might as well be honest this morning. If we're going to get anywhere with God and anywhere with ourselves and get in the shape where God can help us, we must have honesty. And some people just won't be honest about what kind of problem that their flesh gives them. I'll be honest with you this morning, say that none of you gave me any problem studying, preparing, getting ready, getting my mind right, my heart right to preach. None of you gave me any problem but that one I looked at in the mirror this morning as I shaved my face and brushed my teeth and fix my hair. He's the one and it gives me all the problems. And if we don't deal with our flesh, I want you to hear me this morning. I'm preaching to those that are saved and born again that won't. And it's no coincidence that God has linked everything up from yesterday to this morning in the Sunday school hour to now about those things we must deal with. That's what the writer, if you want to say it's Paul, that's personally who I think it was. Don't really matter, but that's what Paul or the writer was dealing with the Hebrew believers about. And that there are some things in our life and that we're going to walk right, talk right, and act right and run the race the way it ought to be run. There are some things that we must deal with in our own lives. God didn't call for me except through the preaching the Word of God. But I'm going to take myself away from being a preacher a minute and just be a Christian. God didn't call for me to deal with your problems, and He didn't call for you to deal with mine, and He didn't call for us to deal with each other. But we're to deal with those things in our own life. We're to deal with our own weights. We're to deal with our own sins. I have problems and you have problems. And my sin that easily besets me may not be the one that easily besets you. But you've got to deal with yours and I've got to deal with mine, and if we'll deal with them together, we can run this race and we can walk a life that's holy and pleasing in the sight of God. Amen. We can have that testimony that we please God. Now there's some in the Word of God that walk with God, but they had some problem dealing with their flesh. And you and I all have problems. If you would admit and be honest with yourself, there are days you have a real problem dealing with your flesh. There are days, if you'd be honest, that your flesh gets the best of you. And there were some in the Word of God that they had a real problem dealing with their flesh. And I'm going to tell you, it's not just a... Can I say this right here? Sin, I understand that. But the ones I'm talking about or the ones that have been on my heart and are on my heart again this morning are not those that just had some passing glance at their flesh and their sin, but it is those that had it come and stay, and they would not resist, they would not deal with it, they would not put it in subjection. They let it stay and they let it settle, and it got worse and worse and worse and worse until it really hindered their walk and being pleasing in the sight of God. And yours will do the same. I understand we live in the flesh, and I'm not making any excuse for sin. I understand the mind's the battleground. But the old preacher said we can't keep the birds from flying over. Up meaning by, you know, you get down to pray sometimes, or you go about your day, everything seems to be going out okay, and then out of the blue, something you've never thought of in your life, a song you've not heard in many years. And that's why you ought to be careful about what you allow and put in your mind and your children's mind, what goes in your ear. It's easier to keep it out than it is to let it in and get it back out. Those strange off-the-wall thoughts that really did not reveal who you are. It's just part of the end in the flesh. They just swing by. The preacher said you can't keep the birds from flying over, but you can keep them from building nests.
Right.
And they want to. You know what you do to keep a bird from building a nest? When it starts, you tear it down. And when it starts again, you tear it down. And I'm going to tell you, it'll probably start again and again and again. We live in the flesh. But don't let your flesh deal with your flesh. Don't let it get the best of you and hinder your walk with God. I thought about David. The Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. That's not what David called him. That's not what Israel called him. That's what God called him. But he had a problem with his flesh. And the majority of the time when you read about David, I don't know about you, but there are many times I read about him and all his victories and all his glory, but I can't help but it just, and I'm not talking about being judgmental, and I'm not talking about harboring hard feelings, but I'm just talking about what the flesh will do to your testimony. And while reading those things about David and the great victories, and there's no denying that he was God's man and that God did great things through him, but there was a time in his heart that he did not deal with his flesh, he would not put it aside, and it cost in some of his testimony. What about Samson, who was a strong man, and the Spirit of God came on him at times, the Bible said, more than just a few. And he did supernatural works. He carried the gates of the city to the top of the hill. He slew thousands with the jawbone of an ass. I mean, amazing, mighty, mighty works of God. But he let his flesh get the best of him. And when you read about Samson and all his glory, where does your mind go? Automatically to the day that he was in the valley of Sorek and he saw a woman and he laid his lap in her head and she took away his glory and the power of the Lord departed. And the most sad statement about Samson is that he didn't even know that the power of God was gone. I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not trying to interpret the Bible, but those things don't happen to a Christian overnight. The events in the Word of God, they didn't happen to Samson overnight. But they were so drawn out, and so much time went by without the power and the presence of God, and that Samson was dumb and ignorant and her own devices to take his strength. And it was so long without God, he didn't know when God was gone. And I'm afraid that we got Christians, and I'm talking about saved folk that are in our churches today all across our land, that they have been so far gone and it's been so long since they felt the power of God and the stirring of God. If God was to pass by, they might not know it. If God was to, and he's not going to leave, he's not going to forsake. But there is such a thing as the old preacher's priest about walking at a guilty distance from God, as Peter did. He followed a fire off, warmed himself by the coal of fire, just enough to knock the chill off. And that's where many of the people of God are living today. And they become so, you know what coals will do? It'll put out just enough heat to get you accustomed to the cold. And when the coals finally go out, you're so used to it, you're so acclimated to it, that you don't even know that it's gone out. And that's about how it is with many church members and Christians in our day. It's been so long since the fire's burned in them, and they've got so situated and acclimated out of their flesh that they wouldn't know if it was gone out or not. God, help us to deal with our flesh. But then there's got to be, and Brother Tim mentioned it this morning in the Sunday school hour, if we're going to have that life that's pleasing to God, if we're going to have that test, and I'm not talking about wait till they wheel us up in front of the pulpit and the preacher to stand over us about our have it now, while you're alive, while you have an influence, while you have an effectiveness. God has saved you. God's brought you to this place for such a time as this. Have a testimony, make an impact that you please God. It could be done in 2021, but there's got to be some determination. Because there's going to be all kinds of obstacles and all kinds of hindrances and all kinds of obstructions that come in your way. And you've got to get it in your mind. And more than that, you've got to get it settled in your heart that you're not going to be deterred. And you're not going to be turned aside. And you're not going to be discouraged. And just deal with the weights, deal with the sins, and run the race that God set before us. We have one we can look to. We look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The one that's already crossed the finish line. And because He has, we can. But we got to keep our eyes on Him and not on the world. Got to be some determination. But then there's got to be some dedication. We got to, as I said already, this walk is not just a once a week. Or two times a week, or three times a week, or once a month, or just on special occasions. Seems like many people, and I'm not the judge, but I really question whether or not they're born again, if they can go that long without being in the house of God and hearing the preached word of God, and there's no evidence in them. We all will have evidence at some point in our life, but I'm wondering how much evidence, if they were to take you to trial today, and the verdict was to bring against you the charge, it was for you to be a Christian, to be walking with God, and be and pleasing in His sight, or will there be enough evidence to convict you for what you're charged with? There's got to be some dedication. And I thought, and had thought, and I didn't mention it yesterday in the service. I just tried to follow the Lord, but the Lord brought it to my mind again this morning about Moses. In Amos 3:3, it said, can two walk together except they be agreed? And it's asked in the form of a question. The answer is no, you cannot walk together except you be agreed. But the word agreed there in the Hebrew means to get in your place. There's an appointed place. And I'm telling you this morning for you, not for the whole church, but for you, for every individual that's saved and born again under the sound of my voice, you have a place. And it's a place God has for you. Is the same place He had for Moses. And the Lord, Moses got to talking with God. The children of Israel had sinned. They had done wrong. And Moses said, except you carry us up, don't take us. I'm not going. Lord, unless you go with us, unless you go before us, we don't want to go. Hey, he said, I beseech you, show me thy glory. And the Lord said, Moses, no man can see my face and live. But he said, but there is a place by me. And he said, if you'll get in the place, I'll put my hand over the cleft of the rock. And while I pass by, I'll move my head. And you can see my hinder parts. And I'm telling you this morning, child, of God, there's a place for you by Him. And that place is not a place of salvation. That's after the fact. I'm not preaching about being saved this morning. I'm preaching about having that that word there in the book of Ephesians that says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There is an abundant life. There is a Canaan experience. There is a purpose life. There is a perfect will of God for your life. And it's not the charismatic way. And it's not the health, wealth, the prosperity way. But it's the place by Him. And every child of God is, if you don't hear anything else that I have to say, you hear me this morning. And I know I'm reiterating some of what was already said in the Sunday school hour, but every child of God is a candidate for that place. If you want it. You're going to have to be dedicated though. and get in your place. Now, I don't know. I'm reading in between the lines, okay? I'm just giving you my thoughts here. I don't know how long it was that Moses was in the place before the Lord passed by. All Moses knew was, I got a place and I got to get in that place, and the Lord promised if I'd be in my place, He would pass by. And I'm telling you this morning, get in your place. You say He didn't pass by today. What'd I do? I'd get in your place again tomorrow and the next day and the next day. I'd just be dedicated. There'll be a day and He'll pass by where you are. It's testimony that he pleased God. I'm going to tell you, all these things are wonderful and they've got to be done. This dealing with the world, denying the flesh, it's got to be done. This dedication to God has to be done. This determination in our spirit has to be done. But I'm going to tell you, without divine help, we cannot do what I'm preaching this morning. You can't do it on your own. You can't muster it up. You don't have enough strength in yourself. And that's why the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You got to have His help. That's why the Lord told Paul His grace was sufficient for him. And His strength is made perfect in weakness. The life that you live, you must live by help of God. If you're going to live the pleasing life, if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have God's help in order to do so. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul said, I'm not living myself. He said, I'm living, but it's Christ living in me. And I'm telling you this morning, we oftentimes sell short what we have in God. I'm not saying that we're boasting or bragging about who we are or what we've done. There's no gifts, no offerings, no deeds, no merit, no favor that we could do to obtain the mercy of God. But if you're saved this morning, my Bible says that you have Christ in you, and that's the hope of glory. We have that help in us. Christ said, I'm going away. But He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He said, I'll send another, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, and He'll abide with you. And He'll guide you and instruct you and recall to your remembrance all these things that I've told you. And He will testify of me. And I'm telling you, down on the inside, if we'd just find our place and get in that place and on our face before God begging for help and get silent before Him and let Him speak to us, that there's divine intervention that will help you walk a walk that's pleasing unto God and have that testimony in this day we live in. You can have it. You don't have to wait till you die for folks to know that you please God. You don't have to wait for the funeral arrangements to be made for folks to know that you had a testimony that you walked with God. Enoch had it before he lived. Enoch had it while he lived, that he had a testimony. He produced evidence by the help of God that he pleased God. I wonder what our testimony says about us. I wonder what kind of evidence shows in our life. I said yesterday, and I'll say again, and I'm done. My time to go may be today. And if it is, that's okay. I'm ready to go. But when the time comes and they wheel my casket up in front of a pulpit and some man of God stands over me, I don't want him to have to take time to preach. You can't preach somebody's life then. It's already done. It's lived. I sat down yesterday, to be honest with you. This is how the flesh operates, and I'm trying to close. I sat down yesterday after the service and then spoke to everybody after it was all over and got in the car with my wife, and I said, I didn't say hardly anything about my papa. It just didn't come. And the Lord said to me, it's okay. He lived his life. His testimony was the fact of everybody was there. They knew about him. It wasn't time. The message at the funeral yesterday was not for him. He's gone. It's for all them still living. And I understand in those times we need comfort. But if you're a child of God, the Word of God could comfort you. And this book's amazing, ain't it? That it's quick and powerful. And ain't it amazing? It can cut and comfort at the same time. And I believe that's what it did for many yesterday. It cut our hearts that God would help us, that we could have a testimony that we pleased God. And there's a lot of things. I mean, there's a lot of things that I could stand this morning. There was a lot of things I could have stood and said yesterday about my papa that's gone. A lot of memories, a lot of experiences that I could share and say. And I love to talk about them. I'm going to tell you, when it comes time for the end, those are not the things that matter. I'm going to tell you, when my time comes to go, there may be a lot of things that you can tell about me. A lot of experiences we've had together, maybe working on the farm or hunting in the woods or riding down the road. Those are wonderful. Church dinners we've had, those are wonderful, but that's not what I want it to be about. When it comes time to come around me, I don't want you to say this or that, but I want it to be known, evidenced, the testimony that I pleased God, that I walked with God. And you can, we can, in this day, in this age, even in the last days, we can have that testimony that we please God. As we stand all over the house this morning, I'm done. The Lord spoke to your heart in any